Now let's open our Bibles. Let's read together John 3:16. Let's read that out loud together. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I like what Pastor Sarah got by the Holy Ghost years ago. You don't know what you have inside until some pressure is put upon it. And like she said, you keep filling up a tube of toothpaste, and when you squeeze it, something comes out. So sometimes until pressure is exerted, you don't really know what's inside of you. And so by keep reading John 3:16 and 17, 18, you know, when some pressure is put on you, what's going to come out? The word of God and the love of God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's turn over. I want to just open up this lesson. I'm going to stay here for a little bit here. Titus chapter 1, and let's look at verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Find 2 Timothy, you'll just turn the page or two and you hit Titus. Chapter 1 and verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised when? Before the world began. The New Living Translation says, this truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. And of course, Hebrews 6:18, similar, says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And if you look up the word immutable, it just means not capable or susceptible to change. It means it can't change. You're familiar with James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. That means no change. He cannot change. So one of the things that our faith must rest upon is this fact, this truth that God cannot lie. If he said it, then we can believe it and trust in it and have confidence that he's not going to change. So if we can find it in God's word, it's settled. It's truth. And he cannot lie. So that's why we can absolutely hold on to something. And if you read some of the stories of some of those that have gone on before us, like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, these were men and women, Catherine Coleman, Marie Edgeworth, Marie Edgeworth, I forget her name, got it mixed up here. But these were men and women that had a conviction or a confidence in God's word to the degree that no matter what they were confronted with, they held on to the fact and the truth that God cannot lie. Even though they walked through trials and tribulations, they knew that God would not let them go. He would deliver them from that circumstance. And so sometimes we need to meditate and feed upon that God cannot lie. Think about this for a second. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he had God's word in his lips. Now we have God's word in our lips. He had confidence in God. And now we ought to have the same. We ought to have that kind of confidence. Jesus believed in God's word in his lips. So your confidence in that word, your confidence, your faith in that word makes it a living thing where? In your lips. So your confidence, your faith in God's word makes it a living thing. It's already alive, but your faith speaking it makes it a living thing. I always like to say this, that sometimes I may not have the want to do something, but when I speak God's word and my faith makes it a living thing, it makes me want to do something. It makes me change, doesn't it? It has the power to change me. It has the power to change someone or something as I speak it in faith. So the confidence is going to come, it's going to come alive as we do something with it. So the confidence, the assurance comes as we speak it. There has to be, let's turn there a moment, let's look at James and just look at this particular scripture here, James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." What do I mean by that? Hearing something, and there not being a corresponding action. There needs to be an action. This is what we read in James chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." What does that mean? That faith apart from a corresponding action is dead. So that means that when I speak something in faith, when I speak God's promises, and I speak that, and I say, my body is healed. Why? Not on my merit. This is God's grace extended to me. He says, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Himself took, not going to take, himself took my infirmities, and he bore my sicknesses. So the mere fact that he spoke that, he released that word, I can by faith say, I receive that promise, and it is now working in my body. The healing power is working in my body. That's faith being released. But I can short circuit that where my actions and my confession don't line up. Because I can turn right around and go, ooh, I'm sick. Well, what did you just say? you said something that conflicts with what you said before. You said, I'm healed. See, now, am I telling anyone not to go to the doctor? I'm not saying that. The doctor may give you a report. But you have scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about the curses of the law. And you have scripture under the new covenant that says Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So even though a doctor may prescribe some medicine to help you, he can't heal you. But I may take that medicine to help stabilize something, but I ought not to live there and depend on it. The only thing I ought to depend upon is the living Word of God. And if I keep filling my spirit man and my heart with the Word of God, which is alive, it will drive out of my body sickness and disease. It will make it leave. Yes. Why? Because it's alive. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes. Well, life will remove death. Resurrection will raise and give life to dead things or sick things. You know, we were sharing last couple Sundays ago. We had a youth conference. Of course, you know the youth went to camp up in Stevens, Pennsylvania, which is near Lancaster. It's kind of a little northeast of Lancaster, not too far. And we had about 200 youth that went from a number of churches up and down the East Coast. And that was in August. And then a month later, they had kind of a reunion. And we had 100 youth that actually, that was the Friday and Saturday that we were up here with the Durants. And we flew a young lady in. They used to be members at Redeeming Love here many years ago, the Warwick family. And Ken and Ada were very active in the church, and they were impressed to move out to Tulsa. And at the time, one of their daughters, she's about this tall. She didn't grow much taller than this. She's about 22, 23. She's short. But she's a little firecracker. I mean, she is a powerhouse. She's in her fourth year at Rhema Bible College. And when she was here, Pastor Greg doesn't remember, but I do, I remember, she wore an insulin pump. And her organs were failing. They didn't give her a lot of time. Now, I don't know, somebody here medical may understand it more than I do, but when a child has type 1 diabetes, it can be very, very serious and fatal for a young child. And she had a pump, and she had to give herself shots all the time with insulin. And so we were out this past summer. We were out at camp meeting, and we wanted to fly her in, so we spoke with her dad, and we said, Ken, you know, we'd like to fly Jessica in September and just have her give her testimony and share. Her organs are working. They're working. Her dad said, well, they don't understand it, but her pancreas just started to work and her kidneys are working. Well, how did that happen? Did it just happen? No. When she was at her first 2 years of Rhema Bible Training Center, They go to school half a day. She was in prayer and healing school after school every day. Every day. Every day for 2 years, she was in prayer and healing school where they teach healing. And they focus on that. Of course, the prayer and healing school, anybody can come. You don't have to be a student. It's open to the general public. People can fly in. They fly in that are terminal. And they sit and they hear the word of God. Her organs are working. She doesn't use a pump. And her dad said there's just a little something left. And he said, that's going. And you can see it. She's full of faith and full of the fire of God. How did that happen? She's got the living word of God planted in her spirit, and it began to make these organs that were sick work. But it took feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding and feeding until those organs shifted. And it took some time. You plant a seed in the ground, it don't just pop up overnight. It takes time. So you can't just start and give up. You can't just start and say, well, every now and then, you're a farmer, you got to plant the seed, but you got to water it. It needs sunshine. It needs water. And once that seed starts to grow, and you keep watering and watering and watering, I'm telling you, it excited me. And we're going to have her come back in to give her testimony. But she did give it to the youth and share it. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. The word of God, what does the scripture say in Luke? I'll just remind you, Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And when you look at some of the other translations, the Hebrews version of that Bible, of that scripture verse, it says, for no word from God will be void of power. No word. The Weymouth translation, for no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. Not one word is impossible of fulfillment. So if we don't unhook, it's coming to pass. If he says prosperity, it's coming to pass. If he says healing, it's coming to pass. Why? Because no word is void of power. No word is void of power. It's not void of life. It has the power to change something. And it'll change anything. Nothing is impossible with God. So that means if we keep this word firmly planted in us, but there needs to be a belief on our part and a confession with our mouth. We can't believe one thing and say something else. We can't say, I believe God meets all of my needs, and then we say something else. We can't believe one thing and say God is healing my body, the power of God is working in me, and say something else. Because then we short-circuit the power of God in our life. It does not mean we don't get help if we need it. But I'm going to say this. Jesus even said when he walked this earth, he said some had no faith, some had little faith, some had great faith. Well, we can see Peter. He got up out of the boat. And then he started looking at what? Circumstances. And he started to sink. So we can sink, any of us can sink if we get our eyes off and we start saying something contrary to what God's word says. And it's very easy. It just, you know, we've all been there. Every single one of us have yielded at some point in time to some stimuli, something we hear, something we feel, something we see. It doesn't look like, I don't hear something positive. I don't see something. But then I might have to ask the question, did God say? What did God say? What did he say? So then if we say something contrary, then what we are ultimately saying, we may not come right out and say it, but what we're saying is, God, I don't believe you, you're a liar. Isn't that what that says? When I say something that's contrary to what God said, then we're saying, you're lying. I mean, we wouldn't come right out, none of us would do that. We wouldn't say, God, you're lying. But we're being influenced by something that we're saying is greater than what God said. Isn't that true? And so, when we start out in faith, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. I'm just trying to stir our hearts this morning to not let go of things that we've received or been promised. If God said it, it's coming to pass. Period. That also means if you've got children and you see something contrary to what God has promised, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Are you going to say something that you see, or are you going to say what God promised? See? Because a lot of parents will say, well, you know, my kids, they don't serve God, this and that, pop, 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 pop. A bunch of negative and a bunch of junk. But are you saying, my children will serve the Lord? This is the way it's going down. Now, I don't have to be a dictator at home. If they don't follow the rules at home, then they may have to make a choice. They may have to make a choice. Whether we're going to live in this house or not live in this house. But if they decide to move out of the house, they are going to serve the Lord. Amen. Why? Amen. Because I believe it. Yes. I believe God. And God has a way of speaking to people's hearts better than I can. He can put the twist on the arm there. He can speak to us in our hearts. And I don't have to worry. I have to just use the word of God as a tool, right? As my promise. But Hebrews chapter 11, when we look at this wonderful scripture verse here, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you look at verse 3, see, we're talking about the power of God's word. It says here, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that means even this body which you see was made from something that doesn't appear. This body was spoken into existence. And when you think about it, think about this from the standpoint of how God created even procreation. Think about that for a moment. I haven't thought about that, but just think about that process of procreation. Two people got together, and in most times, I know there are times that don't think about that kind of thing, but I'm saying in most times, two people did what? Decided that they wanted to have a child. So there was what involved? There was cooperation, there was agreement, there was faith involved. Was there not? And the power of God got involved with that and caused something to happen. So even where things that we see, everything that we see in this earth was made by words, by faith-filled words. Now, when we look at verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me make this statement. Faith is when Reverend Durant were here, Kevin was sharing something. He said the thing that we see in a lot of churches and churchdom when we go in and out of churches is that people talk faith, they speak faith words, but really their actions are contrary. And so what do we say? They know the talk. Pastor Clinton used to say it like this. Children talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And as we grow up, we need to do both. Our talk and our walk need to be the same. But as we grow, I would say this, that faith, the God kind of faith, we're not talking about, now you do know there's a difference. There is human faith. We can have faith, just your spirit. You can have what we would call natural human faith. You do know you can have that. And then the Bible talks about in Mark 11:22, the God kind of faith. It talks about a supernatural, living, God kind of faith. Well, where does that faith come from? It comes from the heart. So I'm going to make this statement. You cannot live by revelation faith or might say the God kind of faith unless you're born again. Unless you are just, unless you've been made righteous, you cannot have the God kind of faith because he ain't living in you. Is that not right? So the only way that somebody can have the God kind of faith is that they do what? Believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. And I believe that it says that God has dealt to every man the what? A measure of faith. So when somebody gets born again and they've been made righteous, he takes up abode in us. He begins to speak to us, and there's deposited in us a measure of the God kind of faith. So, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Phones go off. You don't need to. Doesn't bother me in the least. So I say that sometimes we need to just think about that you need to be just or righteous to have the God kind of faith. This living faith, right? So that faith that's alive, that's active and powerful. Because think about it, faith comes by hearing and hearing the news, the Word of God. And so the Word of God will be revealed by the Spirit of God who lives in us. And so that's how faith is going to come. And it's going to come out of this spirit man that's been regenerated and made brand new. And so this faith that we're talking about, this now faith, is the substance or ground. And I like some of these other translations. It says, this is some translations maybe you never heard of, the Berkeley translation. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. So substance or ground or a foundation is what our expectations rest upon. You can have a foundation and start out and be convinced. Faith is a conviction. Faith is an assurance. And what happens? Then because I'm assured, because I'm confident, I'm expecting something. I know it's coming to pass. I'm expecting it to come to pass. And here's another translation. It says, this is a translation called the Authentic Translation. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. It's the proof of unseen realities. That's exactly what some of the other translations say. The Weymouth says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. So the things I don't see that God has promised, I can have an assurance and conviction for it. How does that conviction come? It's not just something like, I'm going to work up a conviction. No, that conviction, that assurance comes by depositing the word of God and watering it and watering it and watering it. And then what happens is you'll just say, I know I'm getting this. I have this. It's just there. There's a conviction. There's a knowing. I have this. But all of the exteriors, the things that we see, taste, touch, and hear is contrary. But inside, there's a conviction, there's an assurance, there's a solid ground that your hope, your expectation, you just say, I got this, right? But that just doesn't happen. That comes by constantly feeding and watering this with the Word of God. That's why I find it important that when we read John 3:16, maybe the external things, maybe even you yourself find it hard to walk in love. But the more you say it, there may be people that'll come that are unlovely, but all of a sudden you can. Yes. There's a conviction, there's an ability. That's another way of saying it. That conviction is the ability to do something when all the external things say you can't. See? Isn't that true? We've all been there. We've all experienced something. And I was thinking about this also, the importance of faith, and when we talk about no faith, little faith, great faith. Think about this from this standpoint, and we're talking about us individually having no faith, little faith, great faith. Let me pull this up here for a second because maybe I'll read this. This was something that Kenneth Copeland prophesied to Pastor Sarah back in 2003. Let me just get this here. I keep these prophecies because it helps me. I went back and I was listening to some last night. It just stirs my heart. Prophecy's like an anchor for me. It keeps you anchored. This was something that Kenneth Copeland prophesied to Pastor Sarah and Clinton back in 2003. I'm going to just read some sentences out of this, not the whole thing. He said, "Your ministry, the thing that God has called you and Pastor to do, is just now completed in its base and foundation." Now, this is 2003. The ministry started in 1980. So now we're talking 23 years later. It's just now completed its base and foundation. You might think, really? Are you kidding me? See, with God, He has a plan and He has a purpose, right? That's why you can't be moved by what people think you ought to be doing in a ministry. If God has directed the pastors in a certain way, then their heart steers and leads them. And there may be people, you know, because Pastor Sarah and Clinton used to share it privately, used to say, you know, people think we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be on television, and we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be doing this. And they said, no, we're not impressed to do that. This is where we ought to be. And God confirmed it. He said, you have just now completed your base and foundation. And this is what else he said. He said, just now, I mean all the years that it's taken, but the reason it takes a long time to build some foundations is because of the size of what it's going to have to hold up. Huh. And he said, and right now you're beginning to build the house that God has called you to build, the ministry house. And he goes on and shares some things. But I wanted to share that the length of time that it takes to build a foundation, that depth of that foundation has some significance to what you're building on top of it. So no different, you can't build a big edifice on a little foundation. It'll crumble. Isn't that what Matthew said? He said, you know, those that, I think it was in Matthew 7, I think, but he talks about he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So when we build a deep foundation, then what could we say? We can have greater or higher expectations. We can build higher on that. I can reach for some things that I couldn't reach for with a shallow foundation. Isn't that true? So if I've got a little shallow foundation, here's what happens sometimes. People are reaching for things very high, but their foundation is very shallow, can't support it. So essentially, what are we saying? They may have weak faith or small faith, but yet they're trying to exert or reach for something that's great, very high, and sometimes we fail. The structure fails. The foundation can't support that. But when I've got a deep foundation, and I reach for something that's very high, and I set my expectation very high, it can support it. Isn't that true? Does that make sense to anybody? I hope it does. Because the foundation is key. And that's why sometimes, think about this also, I just thought about this. You know, foundation building isn't very exciting, is it? And we're putting down a foundation. That's not very exciting, is it? It's just building this little foundation down here and so forth. But putting the edifice on top, we see it, it's pretty, everything looks pretty. Oh boy, we're excited about that. But we spent years building a foundation, which wasn't necessarily exciting, but it was what gave you stability. Think about it even when you were being raised as a child. The foundations that you were given as a child weren't very exciting. Some of it was hard. But when you grew up, you said, thank God for those foundations that I was given as a child. That I didn't like it, but I thank God now. And so now I can build on that, and I can have a successful life because of that. It's no different. They're natural parallels here. So we can't build a successful Christian life where I'm successful in all our areas without a strong and a deep foundation. Is that right? So what I'm just sharing here today is that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Our words, our actions, and our faith need to line up together. They need to line up. This hidden man, this heart, is where this faith is going to reside. This conviction, this strength of spirit is going to be built from the Word of God, and it takes time, it takes diligence, it takes consistency to build this. And don't give up. Don't let go. Don't feel like, well, you know, I've been doing this for the last 15 years and I don't see anything. You may be foundation building, right? You're like, when is this going to end? You may be foundation building. Just keep steady. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Amen. So our confession, keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the words that we have in line with God's word. Don't let go. Don't go another way. Don't get off course. Don't get off the road of faith. Amen? This is more just to encourage us, more of just to keep our minds straight and steady. I know you know a lot of these things already, but sometimes we need to just be stirred up. We need to keep our hearts and minds in agreement with the Word of God and not get off it. Because the devil will do that. He'll keep telling you, I don't know, it's just taking too long. And you're going, right, you know it. It's taking too long. We must be on the wrong road. Maybe something I did. Maybe I missed it. Well, you may have, but you know what? God's big enough to share that with you. And usually the devil is the one that will try to just keep your mind busy with stuff that's just anti-God, anti-word, right? So when it comes to things that God has promised or revealed to you, especially in his word, I'm telling you, I'm learning more and more. Keep this word active and alive in your spirit. Keep it on your lips. Because when it's released from this heart over these lips, it's alive. Amen. It's working in me and in my life. It's working, it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working. And don't you dare say it's not working. Don't you dare say, well, it's not working. This isn't working. I mean, if you've got a pain in your body, I'm not saying don't call 911. I'm not saying don't call the doctor. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the whole time you're doing that, you say, body, I command you to work.
Yes. Yes.
See, because here's the thing. The blood of Jesus was shed for my healing. The name of Jesus was exalted above sickness. His blood was shed for my healing. His blood was shed for my salvation and my deliverance. This wasn't a partial deliverance out of darkness and into the light of God. This was a complete deliverance, and so was my healing. It was completely done.
Yes, yes, yes.
That means if they remove something out of my body, I can believe God for it to be what? Replaced.
Yes, yes.
Fixed. Healed. Working. And you keep saying it, stir your spirit man up, not your mind. Because your mind will keep working overtime. And you keep your spirit built up. You keep saying, it is working. It is working. If I've got to say that and keep saying it, here's what I'm more apt to do, me personally. I may not feel like saying it. I may not feel like saying it's working. I may say it's working, it's working, it's working, it's working. And I feel as dry as a piece of toast. But I double dog dare you. You keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And you keep saying it. Say it for 10, 15, 20 minutes until a wheel starts turning down here. And a little stirring starts going down here. What is that? You're stirring your spirit up. You're putting words down there. You're giving something for the Holy Ghost to ignite these words that come out of my mouth. Amen. Don't be moved by what you see and feel. Be moved by God's word. It's alive. It's full of power. And it'll work. It'll work. If we work it and we release it in faith. It has to. It must. Why? Because it's settled. It's not void of power. It's not void. Amen. Glory to God. So stir your hearts up. I mean, if you're believing God for a better job, believe him for it. Say, I've got a better job. I've got the things that I desire and want. I'm not going to be moved by this. People say, you can't have that. Yes, I can. If Jesus said, and Paul by revelation said, all my need is met in Christ Jesus, does he mean some or all? All. That means I can release words of faith and not be moved. Now, does that mean I just sit on my behind and not get a job? No, that doesn't mean that. That means I get a job. But while I'm doing that, I'm believing him for a good job, a better job. And he does what? He keeps opening doors. He keeps opening doors. But I'm doing what? I'm moving in the direction of his word. I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it. Here's another thing. When it comes to walking in the love of God, how many of us, when we get into a tense situation or we're confronted, how many of us love and are just, oh boy, I'm going to just walk in love? No. Most times we're going to walk in giving them a piece of our thinking. I'll tell you what I think. Is it not true? But just like we have to make a decision when we're hurting in our physical body, we have to make a decision at that point. God's word is greater than this feeling in my body. It's greater, and it's working in my body, pushing it out. Well, we have to do the same thing when we don't want to walk in love towards somebody. We have to decide right then and there, I don't want to do this, God. I really don't. But I'm going to do it anyways because your word is not void of power. See? And when I act in love, then what happens? the power of God is then released through me, not because I want to, because I made a decision to. I did what? I got in agreement where two or three agree. See, so when we agree with God, not because I feel like it, because I did what? I chose to. I chose to agree with God's word. When I do, he hooks up with my agreement, and the power of God is released. So it's no different where my healing is concerned, my finances, everything may look contrary. But I'm going to make a choice right then and there. God's word is forever settled. He can't lie, and therefore it is so. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to do this thing. And God is going to work through it. And isn't that what the scripture says? Let's finish with this scripture here. I think we've had enough to feed on. But look at James. Isn't that what James says here? I think James says this. Help me, it may be a different scripture. No, I believe it is. Yeah. James 2, and it says here in verse 22, 2 and 22, it says, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made what? Perfect or completed." See? So I may not feel like walking in love. I may not feel healed, but when I move in that direction, when I act as if I am healed, how do I act as if I'm healed? I speak. I speak with my mouth. I act in love towards someone when I don't want to, or otherwise wouldn't. This says here, it's with his works and by works, or a corresponding action, was faith made complete. What does that mean? Let's continue. It says here in verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by what? Faith only." So, and you continue, it says, verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received what? The messengers and sent them out another way. Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead," we know that truth is truth, "so faith without works is dead also." It's not complete. So there needs to be a corresponding action with my faith. I believe I'm healed. What's the corresponding action? I don't just believe it. I don't just say, I believe that. But then there has to be an action. There has to be my belief and my confession, and my action has to be the same. What does that mean? I can't turn around and say, "I'm sick. I don't know what's happening here. My body's not working." No, my body is working. Contrary to what it says, I'm feeding on the word of God. My body, my organs are working, even though they may not be. And you keep feeding, just like Jessica did, day after day, week after week, year after year, 2 years. Her kidneys are working. Her pancreas are working. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not possible. Not in the natural. Not with just doctor's intervention. They already told her, "You got a certain time frame, and nobody lives past this age." But she is. Because his word is forever settled in heaven. And if you'll get it down in your spirit, it'll make your situation change. Think about it. There was darkness that covered the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So darkness could be covering your situation. But God's word is settled in heaven and promised and will change the darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God.